In Brazil this week, the country's high-profile environment minister quit her post. That's raised concern that Brazil will now favor increased development in the Amazon region. The Amazon has long attracted those who want to exploit its natural resources. Some Brazilians fear the rainforest treasures will be stolen by biopirates. It's happened before with rubber tree seeds. Author Joe Jackson tells the tale in his book, The Thief at the End of the World, Rubber, Power, and the Seeds of Empire. Jackson says the story begins in 1876. With a visit by a one Henry Wickham.
He was basically a British adventurer during Victorian times, but where other adventurers were often very successful at what they did, Henry basically failed at everything except for this one stupendous theft of his. He had started in Nicaragua about 5 years earlier. He was trying to collect feathers for his mother's hat shop. And every time he shot a bird, it exploded in a puff of feathers, and so he was a failure at that. And then a year later, he returned to the tropics, and he had the idea that he was going to make himself rich as a planter somehow. So he planned a trip from the mouth of the Orinoco Basin, and he was going to float down to the mouth of the Amazon, which is about 5,000 miles. But while he was doing this, he happened upon rubber for the first time, and he thought he was going to get rich, and instead he caught malaria and nearly died. He also wrote a book about it, which came to the attention of the powers that were at Kew Gardens in London.
Right, and it was Kew Gardens that was in some ways a starting point for this. I mean, Henry Wickham didn't come up with this idea for rubber seeds on his own, did he? I mean, did Kew Gardens essentially hired him?
What happened was that in the 1850s, the British Empire was realizing that rubber was an essential component for its growth as an empire because of industrialization. It needed it for railroads. It needed it for telegraph wires. It needed it for all sorts of military applications. And so by the 1850s, the India office in Kew Gardens had pretty much said, if we can get rubber from the Amazon and replant it in India, much as the British Empire did with tea, taking it from China and replanting it in India, we can make it ours. But the seeds were very prone to rot during the transatlantic trip. So different adventurers would bring the seeds across, but by then they would have sprouted or they would have rotted, and they were never able to replant them at Kew. And Henry was down there, and the director of Kew Gardens wrote him a letter saying, will you collect rubber for us?
So then Henry Wickham gets back to England. He goes to the Royal Botanic Gardens at Kew, and 2,000 of these seeds germinate. What did that set in motion?
Basically, what happened was that they let the seedlings grow a tiny bit, and then they sent the seedlings to their branch royal gardens over in what was in Ceylon and Singapore. And by the time that the bicycle and the automobile came into mass production, the British pretty much owned the rights to the highest grade rubber in the world. So they had the world market in high grade rubber.
Does every Brazilian schoolchild know a version of the Henry Wickham story? I mean, is it well embossed in everybody's kind of communal historical understanding?
They seem to. Every time you read another story about biopiracy down in Brazil or the Amazon Basin, you see a reference to Henry Wickham.
So then elaborate on what some of the modern examples of what you would consider threats of biopiracy in the Amazon region.
There was one that just happened last year, and it was real interesting. There was an isolated Indian tribe in the western Amazon that had been selling blood samples to an American firm for several years because the firm could then extract the DNA and trace back their susceptibility to disease and all sorts of biological historical research. But then they learned that samples taken by that firm were being sold to universities and to other research firms for like $85 a sample. And the Brazilian authorities cried foul. They cried biopiracy, and the Indians refused to sell their blood anymore. So it's happening all the time there.
Some environmentalists and Brazilians say that their government is exaggerating claims of biopiracy so that they can develop the Amazon as they please. It kind of makes one wonder, you know, what side of environmentalism, environmental protection, the Brazilian government is on. What do you think?
much of what you see down in the Amazon these days is very fuzzy, because a lot of times the people who get arrested for these cases of biopiracy are scientists who are trying to save the Amazon, or companies who are interested in developing new drugs, or researchers in DNA who find these isolated tribes who have been isolated from disease vectors that infect the rest of the world. And so they can kind of follow back, like detectives, what's going on within this blood trail. But because of this history of biopiracy, especially in the South American countries, these people don't want to let anything go.
Joe Jackson, author of The Thief at the End of the World, Rubber, Power, and the Seeds of Empire. Thank you very much.
Thank you.